Good morning, church. It's a beautiful morning this morning as I start in, and you know it leads me to think, why aren't we having church? Why aren't we together in the house of the Lord? You know, God has a plan for this thing. I'm not sure what it is yet. I know that a lot of people are reaching out to other people in the church and other people in the community, and I don't know if we'd do that if we were meeting every Sunday. I think we would still be in our comfort zone of coming to church, and I think God has moved us out of our comfort zones, and I think that's important because as we move forward, God doesn't want us to go back into our comfort zones. God doesn't want us to go back into being complacent about our Christianity. He wants us to be purpose-driven. He wants us to be bold. He wants us to be very industrious in how we approach our Christianity. And with that today's message is going to be make no excuses. And we're going to talk about, I'm going to preach from Jeremiah chapter 1. And we'll get to all that. But I want to lay this off in prayer. And, you know, guys, as we head into another week of not being together, it's important that if you have prayer concerns, if you have needs, please let them be known. Please communicate with either the elders or anyone from the church, because we love to pray for you. And while we are praying for you and while we're praying for each other, specific prayers are definitely very helpful. So as I get started today, I'll be in Jeremiah chapter 1. I'll give you time to get there. I'm going to just open us in prayer, and we'll go from there. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you today, and we thank you for the sun. We thank you for the beauty of your world, Lord. And we come before you today, and we want to live with no excuses, no regrets, Lord. Lord, just take us through the calling of Jeremiah and what you ask him to do, and let us apply it to our lives today, Lord. And as we go through this time of uncertainty with the coronavirus and whatever it's called, continue to give us peace that you're in charge and you are in control and you know the end result of this. So, Lord, as we go throughout our weekly lives and our independent lives, just let's be ever mindful of the work you want us to do, Lord. Lord, I ask that you just take me out of this and shut my mind down and just let the words come out that you want to be expressed, Lord, today. In your name we pray. Amen. So as we go into Jeremiah, I just want to give you a little bit of background of this. And you know, the audience that Jeremiah wrote this for is for the people of Judah and Jerusalem. He wrote this during his time in ministry, and he was actually in ministry for about 40 years, from 626 B.C. to 586 B.C. So we're talking 40 years, and this was before Christ. Guys, here's what I want you to take from that. These guys that were called to be prophets, they did not have the example that Christ came and lived. They had the promise and they were told that there was going to be a Messiah. They were told there was going to be a new way of doing things, but they did not see that firsthand. We were able to see that. We're able to see that firsthand, and we know that Jesus came and lived and died and rose again. Guys, we have that example. What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? There's a verse I want you to kind of put in your heart today, and it's Jeremiah 7, 23 and 24. I, the Lord, gave them this command. Obey me, and I will be your God, and you will be my people. Walk in obedience to all that I command you, that it may go well with you. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclinations of their evil hearts. They went backward and not forward. Guys, we do not want to go backward. We want to move forward. We need to move forward as a people, as a Christian race, as a country. We have got to learn from our mistakes and learn from our histories and move forward. And why he wrote this or why he was called is the group of Judah, the area was dying spiritually. Jeremiah was sent to plead with the people to stop sinning and return to God. But when they didn't listen, they were sent as captives elsewhere into Babylon. But the God we serve remained faithful, and he kept some of them alive and brought them back to Jerusalem at a later date. Guys, I kind of think here's our later date. You know, we're being asked by our Lord and our God, what are you doing? Will you not come back to me right now? Guys, I don't think we want to repeat history and not return to God as the people of Judah did. You know, so many times throughout the Old Testament, we see the people turn from God and God gives them a chance to come back and they don't. And then it ends up being what? 40 years of futility wandering around. We don't want to go there. So, the call of Jeremiah in chapter 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I'm too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put words into your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to uproot and tear down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you see, Jeremiah? I see the branch of an almond tree, I replied. The Lord said to me, you have seen correctly, for I am watching to see that my word is fulfilled. The word of the Lord came to me again. What do you see? I see a pot that is boiling, I answered. It is tilting toward us from the north. Then the Lord said to me, from the north, disaster will be poured out on all who live on the land. And then 15, I am about to summon all the peoples from northern kingdom, declares the Lord. Lord, their kings will come and set up their thrones in the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem. They will come against her surrounding walls and against all the towns of Judah. I will pronounce my judgments on all my people because of their wickedness in forsaking me, in burning incense to other gods, and in worshiping what their hands have made. Get yourselves ready. Stand up and say to them, whatever I whatever I command you. Do not be terrified by them, or I will terrify you before them. Today I have made you a fortified city, an iron pillar, and a bronze wall to stand up against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but will not overcome you, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. So there is Jeremiah's call to work from our Lord, from our God. And God was going to put him in all the right places, in all the right times, give him everything to say. And yet, man, that's a tough pill to swallow. Why? Because when God comes to me and says, Matt, I want to use you this way. Matt, I want you to do this. What do I do? Well, I start making excuses. And the first excuse that we use is, God, you don't know what you're asking me to do. That task is way too hard. Jeremiah was called to be a prophet, not a priest like his father and his grandfather. A prophet was a chosen and authorized spokesman for God. Guys, we understand, you know, you can be a preacher and get up on Sundays and get up and do whatever. But Jeremiah was being asked to be a prophet. He was being asked to do things different than the leaders and the priests. That's pretty cool. He was being asked to be a spokesman for God, who declared God's word to the people. When we often think of prophets, we think of people who can tell the future. But a prophet had spoke the message of today that affected tomorrow. So that was pretty cool. The prophet was more demanding than serving as a priest. The priest duties were predictable. Everything was written down in law. The prophet never knew from one day to the next what the Lord would call him to say or to do. The priest worked primarily to preserve the past. So that's important we understand that. Jeremiah was being called to be a prophet, and his job was not just to preach the law or to preach the word or to keep things going as they always have been. Jeremiah was being asked to say, okay, God says this. And if I were to come to you on Sunday morning with this message and say, hey, God said we're doing this all wrong. He wants us to tear down our church building and just go. Go out into the community and just be Christians. You guys would think I was crazy, right? I would think I was crazy. Guys, I think God's not telling us to tear down our church building. I think God's telling us to open up our church building. I think God's telling us we need to be active in this community, more active than we already are. And that's pretty cool. So that excuse, it's just too demanding. God may assign you a demanding task, but his call keeps us going when we don't want to go and ready to quit. Anybody been there? I have. Maybe I'm the only one. But, you know, when I get asked to do something and it doesn't go my way or the way I think it should, man, I want to quit doing what I'm being asked to do, right? I want it to go this way, a certain way. Here's a verse I want you to think about. Jeremiah 1:5 says, I chose you before I formed you in the womb. I set you apart before you were born. Guys, God's plan for you, he chose you before you were even born. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that is for each one of you. But God's plan is the way it was since before time. So don't make excuses or sell yourself short or sell our God short, because his plan was there before we were even born. Like Jeremiah and Jesus, we need to accept that our future is not our own. We are God's. He has a distinct plan and purpose for our lives. Okay, that's a promise we get from it's too hard. The excuse is the task is too demanding. The promise we get is God has a plan for your life. Excuse number two. I've used this one a few times. My talent is inadequate. But I protested, oh no, Lord, I don't know how to speak since I am only a youth. That's Jeremiah 1:6. And we know that somebody else used this same excuse before this, back in Exodus. Moses tried to use the excuse that, Lord, I can't speak. I can't speak well enough. You want me to go talk to Pharaoh? There's no way. Guys, I'm telling you, I've used this excuse right here. And while I still think my speaking is inadequate, God fulfills that. He fills all the voids that I leave. And he gives me the words to say. You know, it's crazy because I never envisioned that I'd be sitting here in a room talking to nobody, basically, but talking to a church. You know, some of the greatest influences in my life have been pastors that I grew up with. Some of the greatest detours in my life have been pastors that I grew up with. I have a guy I hold very dear to my heart, Craig McMahon. He was a pastor when I was a boy at Bryn Zion Baptist Church. And, you know, he was relatable. He was somebody that you could approach. He was somebody you could talk to because he had real life experiences. Then I had another pastor that, actually one of the guys that married Chris and I, because he had very limited real life experiences, he was hard to talk to. He was very intelligent as far as biblical goes, theological goes, but he was hard to talk to because he had very little real life experience. You know, the guy that he was just a guy from, you know, I think he was from Indiana, born in Indiana, but he played college football, and his wife was a little Kentucky girl, and these their two kids, Hannah and Nathan, were, born in Ohio, but man, they had that southern accent like their mama, and it was pretty wild to see, but they had real life experiences. He had injuries he worked through in football, and I could relate to that. He had people told him he wasn't good enough, and I could relate to that. Guys, he was a great pastor. The other guy probably knew more about the Bible, but couldn't relate anything. So, you know, the excuse of not being able to talk well enough, or my talent is inadequate. Guys, if you have the desire, God will enhance your talents, and God will enhance what he wants to bring out of you. There's a reason he's calling you to do what he's calling you to do. He has a way to overcome our weaknesses and our insufficiencies. I have learned over the years that the person most aware of his own inadequacy is usually the person most dependent on God's all-sufficiency. So that's pretty cool. My inadequacy has caused me to rely on God. And the promise out of this excuse, the talent is inadequate, the promise that he brings is, our talent may appear inadequate, but God always equips those that he calls. We have the promise of God's provision. Jeremiah 1:9. Then the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and told me, I have now filled your mouth with my words. That's pretty cool. Guys, Jesus also had this example. following his baptism, immediately coming out of the water, the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descended on him. And God spoke, "This is my beloved Son. I take delight in him." And that's Matthew 3:17. Guys, sometimes it's our willingness to do it. It's our willingness to put our inadequacies out there that God is going to fulfill our inadequacies. Excuse me. Here's my favorite excuse. I've used this one before. The timing is just not right. And Jeremiah used this excuse. In Jeremiah 1:6, he said, "God, I am only a youth." The word youth ordinarily denotes a young unmarried man in his teens or early 20s. Most scholars think that Jeremiah was 20 to 25 at the time of his call. His reply is not so much revealing his age as a deep sense of immaturity. So when God called him, he could have been 25, he could have been 40 for all that matter, but he knew that he was very immature. And that is what Jeremiah was trying to use as an excuse. Guys, God's timing is perfect. God's call may come at an inopportune time, but he never sends forth his servant alone. We have the promise of God's presence. "Then the Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a youth, for you will go to everyone I send you to, and speak whatever I tell you. Do not be afraid of anyone, for I will be with you to deliver you.' This is the Lord's declaration." That's Jeremiah 1, 7 and 8. Guys, when we're called, God will prevail. When we're called, God will prevail, and God will give us everything we need. And he will go with us. And that's pretty cool. What a difference it makes knowing that when we're being sent to do something, someone is going with us. We know that we do not have to walk the lonesome road alone, that we have a traveling companion. So as we're, I keep bringing up Lindsay, but Lindsay has been home since Easter Sunday, and she's itching to get to where she's going. And part of it is she's bored out of her mind at home. Part of it is she knows that she's not walking alone when she gets where she's going. So she's ready. She wants to go. Our prayer is that the things get opened up to where she can go and do what she needs to do, and that God can deliver her back home to us. And again, it's not because, but the time, she has not used the excuse, the time is not right. I probably have in that situation. Guys, God's in charge. God's walking beside her. God's walking with her, and I know that. Here's a good one in Jeremiah's case. The teaching is too dangerous. Guys, I want you to understand the message that the Lord gave Jeremiah was, hey, you need to go tell these dudes they need to change what they're doing. They are living a very, very sinful life, and they're going to be judged. So because of the message God was sending with Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a target. Jeremiah, they didn't want to, nobody wants to hear the truth, right? When I was growing up, and man, I thought I was going to be the next great left-handed pitcher, right? I got to college, had a pretty successful college career, and I went and I talked to, a couple pro scouts came and talked to me, and They said, man, you're only 5'7". I said, well, I'm 5'9". But here's the deal. I was 5'7", and threw 85 miles an hour. So, therefore, there was not a chance. But man, those scouts weren't afraid to deliver that bad message because they knew it was right. They knew it was right. I was not a professional pitcher. I dreamt. I thought I could be. And I think in the same way, these people knew what they were doing was wrong, but they didn't want somebody as immature and somebody as unpolished as Jeremiah to tell them that. But Jeremiah did. So the people, they put a target on him. And you know, he uses the boiling pot illustration to kind of tell Jeremiah what he wants him to say. And there's a reason he used that. The unusual, all the Jewish homes would have a fairly large wide mouth washing or cooking pot. The unusual thing about the pot Jeremiah saw was that it was not level. It was always tilted away from the north. The pot could not at any moment spew its boiling contents towards the south, scalding the people of Judah. The pot represented the nation of Babylon that would invade and conquer Israel. The reason for the judgment was Israel's idolatry and rebellion against God's righteous will. Guys, in this time we're in right now, I think God used this as a wake-up time for us. Not that we were going to be overthrown, but by the same token, we are at a bad point where we could be overthrown. And guys, there's just so many things out there that we've turned away from God, and we need to get Him back at the center of them. And I think this virus has awoke a lot of people, and it has maybe been our wake-up call, like this was Judah's wake-up call. And I hope and I pray that we stay faithful to what God is bringing out in this, because, guys, I don't want to lose anybody to slavery. I don't want to lose anybody to a third world country. I don't want somebody else coming in here and taking control. We have enough problems of our own with the Christian people being in charge. So take what God is offering with this virus. Get deeper into His Word. Get deeper into His love and understanding. And Lord, and guys, I'm telling you, when we come out of this, we need to be a stronger people than we were when we went into it. Otherwise, we're no different than these people of Judah. And we know what they faced. So the teaching is dangerous. Yeah. Yeah. What Jeremiah was being asked to say was dangerous. Nobody wanted to hear it. The coronavirus is dangerous. Nobody wants to hear it. You know, every day when I try to turn into Governor DeWine and Dr. Atkin and the Lieutenant Governor, they have a message that, quite honestly, people are tired of hearing now. I know I'm tired of hearing, you know, I made a camping reservation for Memorial Day and I really want to go camping, but I don't think that's going to happen. And every day I get frustrated with the governor because he's not opening stuff up. And I get frustrated because we need to get back to normalcy. But man, I hope and I pray that God's got the right guy in charge making that call. And we need to be faithful. And we need to listen. And we need to do what we need to do. I'm not saying we need to live scared, because we don't. I know there's people that are hurting. I know there's people that are out of work. I know there's people that financially are strapped. And I get all that. But guys, there's a reason that these numbers are not going crazy. Number one, they haven't tested everybody. Sometimes I think it's all media blown out of proportion, and that's part of it. But you know, there's a realness to this coronavirus, and we need to understand the realness of it. We need to take the precautions of it, and we need to trust our God that He's got us, because He does. And the last excuse I want to use today kind of goes with the same as excuse number three. The time is not right. But this excuse I'm going to say is, do I have to go right now? It says God was expecting immediate reaction or action from Jeremiah. God said, now, get ready. Stand up and tell them everything that I command you. That's Jeremiah 1:17. In Jeremiah's day, the men had to tie their loose robes together with a belt in order to run to work. Jeremiah was in for a struggle. He had a fight on his hands. So the phrase, dress yourself for work, or gird up your loins, was a metaphor that meant get ready for action. Today, we would say, roll up your sleeves and dig in. God called Jeremiah to act. He was called to move out among the people. He was called to deliver an offensive message. He would not be welcomed, nor would he be accepted. He would anger his hearers. I'll use an analogy for, do I have to go now? Every day I have this conversation with Morgan. And Morgan is 17, just turned this week. And Morgan's response is usually the same. I'll get it in a little bit. Or I'll get it tomorrow. I'll do it when I do chores tomorrow. And my response is always the same. We need to stop putting off tomorrow or next hour or next day what we can do today. Guys, God is calling each and every one of us today. Today. Not tomorrow. Not next week. He's calling us today. Some of us, the call may be start your relationship with me. Some of us, it may be deepen your relationship with me. Some of us, it may be get out and be bold for me in the community. But God is calling us all to act. Here's the promise we get from that. God expects obedience immediately. If we don't, we are in danger of God's wrath. We have the promise of God's power in Jeremiah 1:17. Do not be intimidated by them, or I will cause you to cower before them. Immediate obedience is the only appropriate response when God calls. And we can take this into Jesus' life. Jesus obeyed. Whatever you think of Jesus, remember this. His heart was willing and an obedient heart. He always did what his Father directed. There was no hesitation, no questioning, no circumventing, only immediate action. So in closing, what I want to get across is, has God called you? If He has called you, He will fulfill His purpose in you. He will equip you, He will enable you, He will protect you, and most importantly, He will accompany you. Are you obeying His commands? Then He is with you to protect you. Are you sharing the word? Then he will accomplish His purpose, no matter how the people respond. Guys, it's not so important as how people respond to what we're saying as it is the fact that we're being obedient to what God is asking us to do. if we're being obedient to what God is asking us to do and it only reaches one person, great. If we're not being obedient to what God wants us to do and our life reaches 1,000 people, we've led 1,000 people astray. Guys, I hope and I pray that we are being obedient to God's calling, that we are not being excuse makers, that we are not scared, that we are not trying to find a reason not to do what God wants us to do, but rather we're jumping in and we're helping and we're listening for God. Guys, there's been many times in my life when I've fallen away from God and not listened to what God wants. And a lot of times, right now even, we're not wrestling, but God's trying to tell me something and I'm not understanding. Keep praying through that. Keep searching God out in everything that you do, because He's going to reveal Himself to you. And when He does, we need to take immediate, obedient action. And I will close with this. I found a pretty neat thing today, or this week. I just want to share it with you real quick. Somebody posted it. I just thought it was kind of cool. If I can find it. There it is. And it says, you know, in the wake of COVID-19, it says, make sure you test positive for faith. Keep distance from doubt. And isolate from fear. Trust God through it all. Guys, and I think that perfectly wraps up what I'm trying to say is, we need to be faith-driven. We need to stay out of our heads, and we need to forget the fear, and we just need to turn it all over and trust God. So as you're going through your week this week, I don't know what it looks like, but again, like I said earlier, if you all need anything, if you all need someone to listen, if you need someone to talk to, if you need prayer, please let one of the elders know, pass it through the prayer chain, so that we can pray specifically for the need. Understand that we pray for this church every day. We pray for each person here every day. But if you have a specific need, we want to be bold in what we're asking. We want to know the need we're asking for and be bold in what we're asking for. So guys, I'm going to wrap us up in prayer and have a great week. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you and I thank you for Jeremiah and the example that he has provided for us of you took an imperfect, young, immature kid and you delivered, used him to deliver news that you wanted delivered, Lord. And Lord, I pray that we be bold like Jeremiah and just do it. Lord, even when we think we're not good enough, even when we think we can't talk good enough, even when we think we're not old enough, even when we think I just can't do it, it's too demanding. Lord, let us turn to you and have light shown on how you're going to use this situation in our lives as a church. Lord, I pray for this church and I pray that you just let us be bold and let us go out there and use what we know and apply what we know, Lord, to deliver more bodies and more souls to you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, everybody. I'll talk to you soon.